Hi, this is Guy Raz.
And I'm Mindy Thomas.
And together we bring you Wow in the World,
NPR's podcast for curious kids and the grown-ups.
And we're back with all new episodes.
New scientific adventures both in and out of this world.
Find Wow in the World on NPR One, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
Si me dejo llevar es para perderme. Si me debes mirar es para quererme.
That is the voice of Ileana Cabra Joglar. These days, she goes by the shorter name of Ile, but she used to be known as PG-13 when she sang with her brothers in the wildly popular hip-hop band Calle 13.
Una pierna que respira, veneno de serpiente, por el camino del viento, voy soplando.
El día había comenzado entusiasmado y alegre.
Last year, when her brothers put Calle 13 on hold to pursue other projects individually, Ile was busy recording her album Ilevitable, a record that is a complete change from her hip-hop days, and it's full of the classic sounds of mambos, boogaloo, and boleros.
Mi cara mojada la vuelvo a tender para que la seque. Mi alma quebrada que en ti se derrama no se puede mover, ya no puedo pensar, me duele el peso y me duele soltar, regalando lo que soy. Olvidando lo que fui, desvaneciéndome en un mundo donde la realidad es fácil de ocultar. No llores, nostalgia.
Ile, or Ileana Cabra, thank you for joining us today.
Hola.
You just started your latest tour, and we're happy that you were able to come by and take some time to talk to us here at the NPR World Headquarters to be a guest DJ today.
Yeah, very excited.
Okay, so we just played a track from your record, your last record, which was a phenomenal smash in every way. We left it here at Alt Latino, and so did a lot of other people. And you're still riding the wave of that popularity. Why do you think it was so popular? What kind of message, what kind of chord did it strike with people?
I don't know. I was surprised to see the reaction of people with this album, because it's my first one, and I just did what I felt I needed to do, and it was in some way to use as an influence my musical culture as a Puerto Rican and as a Caribbean, and it's because I'm a very fan of our own music, and I was feeling like nowadays it was being a little forgotten through the years, so I felt that necessity to work with my roots in some way, but I was not thinking at all how people were going to receive it. So I said to myself, I said, well, at least I'm happy. I enjoyed it a lot, the whole process. I learned a lot. So let's see how people listen to it. But I was not expecting anything at all. So I was very excited. I am very excited to how this year has been going on. It was very intense, and people, I'm very grateful that people are appreciating this work that took this whole album, Inevitable.
It was quite a work. It was quite an effort, and very successful, like I said. But and also, my own perspective, my thought is that I think people sometimes need to be reminded, or like to be reminded, especially younger people. When I was your age, I like to be reminded of raíces, my roots, right? And I think that that's very popular with people these days.
Yeah, I think it's necessary because some people say to forget the past, but I don't think that's healthy, because the past also is what forms the present, and it's part of who we are now. So we need to embrace the past in a way and transform it to make it better and make it and make a better future. So I like to take the past in that way, like to in a way of transformation and learning from the past.
Well, Tio Felix says that if you don't know where you've been, you'll not know where you're going.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's continue with some music. So you brought in a great list of music. When you sent it to me, I just got so excited because there's just all this great classic sounds that we want to hear. So what is the first one we're going to hear?
¿Qué me dices? Is from the Orquesta Panamericana from Puerto Rico, and the singer was Yayo El Indio. That is one of my favorite singers, top singers. I loved his voice from the very beginning. It's very powerful, and he has a great interpretation. And it's a song composed by a Puerto Rican composer that has a very difficult name. I think it was Elagio, and I don't remember his last name. But he wrote also, I think, Yo Soy La Muerte, the salsa song. So I love Orquesta Panamericana arrangements by Lito Peña, and I love especially Yayo El Indio's voice, so I love this song.
¿Qué me dice? Hoy que ya tengo la prueba de tu ingrata traición. Dime qué me dice, si es que en ese rostro aún te queda vergüenza o pudor. Dime qué me dice de esas cartas, ese retrato y de ese hombre que te escribe sin temor, de esas fiestas y de esos bailes donde se vierte como el agua ese maldito licor. Anda, dime qué me dice. Sé que mentirás, que por mil cosas jurarás que soy tu dueño. No te voy a escuchar, soy fácil de engañar y a lo mejor te creo. Anda, dime qué. Ingrata, maldita, ¿qué me dice? Sé que mentirás, que por mil cosas jurarás que soy tu dueño. No te voy a escuchar, soy fácil de engañar y a lo mejor te creo. Anda, dime qué.
Classic big band boleros. I love that sound. I love the arrangements. I love the way that the musicians are recorded in the studio. I love that sound.
Yeah, I found the name of the composer is Eligio Farrait del Brey.
Wow.
Yeah, he was Puerto Rican. So it's important for me to recognize the writers, because sometimes we think someone else wrote it or these names are forgotten, and it's important to have their names. So my father helped me out finding the name of the composer.
That's very good. I like that. I like yeah. keeping the present. Yeah. You know, and I think that let's talk a little bit about that, because and you've probably talked about this quite a bit in the past, but we want to hear it again. You know, the idea that you came of age with the group Calle 13 in the forefront of the Latin hip-hop in general, but your heart is in a different era.
In a way, I feel like I'm very open to all types of music, and I like to also explore with other things and get out of my comfort zone. But I feel it is also a very important part, especially with interpretation. My grandmother taught me a lot about the importance of interpretation while singing. And I didn't recognize that until I was through the years with my own brothers and with myself, with the singing lessons, that every word explains something and has a meaning and has a feeling and has a way of saying it and has a different tone, and that is important to transmit it in the most honest way possible. And that for me is very important, and it's something that I'm feeling that nowadays is lacking in music, because now everything is so perfect in sound that it feels everything feel a little distant and a little further. So for me it's important when I listen to music, I like it to feel close to me, and that's what I love about this music, mainly from another time. But I like that there was a feeling that it's transmitted more directly, because everything was not so perfect. Like the arrangements were perfect, but if the sound was not like it sounded live, it sounded live in the whole meaning of the word, and you also felt alive listening to it. So that's my main purpose in doing art and in doing music, that it transmits directly to people who are going to listen to it.
In the music from that era, whether it's Big Band Bolero like this, or even some of the jazz or any of the music where they were recorded live, pop music, for example, there's for musicians, because I play a little bit of music, for musicians there's a slight tension. There's a little bit of excitement when you're recording like that, because, you know, one wrong note and you got to start all over. So there's an edge to the music always that gives it a little bit more, you know.
Yeah.
It makes it, and it can come out perfect, but there's always room for, okay, we don't want to make a mistake. And so everybody's like, it's even more of a, oof, I don't even know what the word is.
But still, I love when a mistake suddenly it makes everything more perfect.
Yes.
I love that about mistakes. Like suddenly, maybe that wasn't the note, but what you did was great. Like maybe it made everything better. So I love mistakes.
Let's hear some more music. You brought in one of my favorites, Eddie Palmieri, and you brought in a track from an era from the 60s when Boogaloo was a big thing. Tell me about this track that you brought in.
Boogaloo, I love it. I love hearing it, and I know it is a mix of, it was like the daughter and son of the mix of soul and salsa in the 60s in New York, because Puerto Ricans were living their own reality, living with Afro-Americans. So it's a very interesting mix, and it had this great boom. So I know it also went away very suddenly. So it was nice for me to bring it up again and play with it a little in a more modern way. I have a song in my album, Te Quiero con Boogaloo, that speaks about women's sexuality. That is something that it's still tough to talk about nowadays. So it is important. My sister wrote the lyrics. And This song, I love it. I used it as a reference for the album in a way, so it has some sort of dialogue with this song. And I also love that Cheo. I love Cheo.
Cheo Feliciano, the great Puerto Rican singer.
Como Palmieri Bugalú. Arriba con él. Tasty, tasty. Qué rico.
Let's take a break from the music and talk a little bit about what's going on in Puerto Rico right now. First of all, how is your family? Is everybody okay? Did you guys get through okay, more or less?
Yes, we are good. Only half of my roof from the balcony that is from this wooden, it went away, but we're good. And my whole family is good as well. My mom was in Argentina, so it was good. Yeah, because she's okay, and we took care of each other there in Puerto Rico, so we're good. But the rest of the country isn't. So,
were you there when the storm hit?
Yeah, I was. I lived there. It was very strong. It was very long. There was a time where you didn't know if it was going to end. And it was something that we've never seen before. And it was through daylight mostly. So we were seeing everything outside the trees. Where I live, there's a tree that was 200 years that fell. And it's crazy. But also, the rest of the country, a lot of houses are not existent right now. And And a lot of people are now going through a lot, and there's still no light, and we're like in our day 40, I think. I have water in my house, but a lot of the country doesn't have light unless you live nearby a hospital. And also, suddenly the hospital, the light in the hospital goes away because there's a lot of electricity cables on the street, and the it's a mess. It's very crazy, it's very sad, very frustrating, because I cannot believe how insensitive the government of the United States and also the government of Puerto Rico has been through all this. It's weird. It's humiliating.
One thing that strikes me about this is that even though you're going through this, there seems to be this spirit of resilience. Right? It's like the Puerto Ricans, they will survive.
Yeah, it's very unconscious, because for me, that's what independence is about. I'm part of the minority of that wants Puerto Rico to be independent. But it's almost ironic how people, like, I don't know if it's a reaction of the body, of the humanity. We are helping each other as Puerto Ricans. We're not waiting for anybody. And that's what it's all about, of feeling empathy with each other, of feeling solidarity. And that's what is happening, and that's what relieves me, that there is something there, that we are taking care of each other and as a whole big family. And that's what we are. And that's how we should work from now on in our own way. And that's what we need to learn, that we haven't learned in school, that our history has taken us away. We don't know so much about our own history and about our own people. So now it's like a moment of transformation, of changes, of realizing a lot of things that it's going on. It's like moving another skin. So it's incredible everything that we're going through. But I think in a way, well, in the bad things, there's always a good thing. You know, we learn from them and we try to figure out how to work it out. And that's what we're going through now.
Is it too soon to talk about the effect of the storm on the music scene there? I mean, I'd imagine that without electricity, there are no play. You can't play music. Some of the venues probably have been destroyed. I'm wondering about recording studios. I'm wondering about musicians who had instruments. You know, and even some of the folk instruments like bombo y plena, all the tambores and all that, you know. What is that? Does anybody have any idea what kind of effect it's having?
Jerry Medina, he's like my uncle. he's been singing in Old San Juan en la Barandilla since like the day after the hurricane. So it's nice because he has been gathering up musicians that live in San Juan, and they were playing, and he plays the trumpet and he sings amazingly. So it was nice. It was refreshing to see the videos of him singing in the plaza. And there's also been some other people playing bomba and rumba and plena. I think it could happen more. I think it's something we need as well, because I cannot believe that sometimes, like in Puerto Rico, there's not so much music as I want to feel. Like bomba for me is like that part of who we are, and I would love to see that on the street. And you don't need no mic and you don't need no electricity to play that. So I think it could be a little there could be a little more unplugged music, but people are also, you know, processing everything. And I know a lot of people are taking care of their families and taking care of the whole country at the same time, because while I was there the other days, like, you wake up and you try to work your own things, but also it's like, okay, let's get together and let's go to some town and work and give food, give water, and see how we can work together. So it's like another way of living now.
Huh. Yeah. So you're saying that you think that the music scene may come back even more vibrant.
I hope so. I hope so. I think, yeah, at least I'm, in my house, I've been writing a lot. I've been composing with whatever I can, and I've been letting go a lot of things. I think it's healthy. I think it's what musicians need to do to work this out better, you know? So, yeah, I think now we have, like, we see things a whole lot differently after this.
Well, it'll be interesting to look into the future, but for now, we're going to go back into the past for the music that you brought. How's that for a segue? This is Blanca Rosa Gil. Tell us about this.
Blanca Rosa Gil was like my transition. I learned from La Lupe a lot, but then I discovered Blanca Rosa Gil from an album that my dad gave me of Cuban singers, and I always loved her voice. I didn't know her name or anything, but when I was listening to it, I say, oh, I love this one. And if she's, her voice was trembling. Her voice is very clean and very dramatic. And I think it's a part of me as well. And this song that speaks about sexuality is called Hambre, that it means hunger. And it's violent, it's sexual, and it's very feminine. And I love that about this song.
Dentro de mi alma oigo el grito de un corazón anhelante que repite a cada instante su deseo de querer. Y en mis noches de delirio siento correr por mis venas un deseo que quema y que me obliga a gritar. Hambre de sentir el fuego ardiente de un amor que sea inclemente, que me queme las entrañas. Hambre de besar con ansia loca, que me muerdan en la boca hasta hacerme la sangre. Sí, hambre de un amor que me calcine, que con besos asesine mi deseo y mi ansiedad. Hambre de un amor desesperado que me lleve hasta el pecado, aunque tenga que llorar. De sentir el fuego ardiente de un amor que sea inclemente, que me queme las entrañas. Ay, hambre de besar con ansia loca y que me muerdan en la boca hasta hacerme la sangrar. Yo tengo hambre de un amor que me calcine y que con besos asesine mi deseo y mi ansiedad. Hambre, hambre de un amor desesperado que me lleve hasta el pecado, aunque tenga que llorar, aunque yo tenga que llorar, aunque tenga que llorar.
Wow, I'm getting embarrassed. It's a great song.
Yeah, it is. I think it was written by a Mexican And the first song, the original one, I think it was sung by a Mexican, I don't remember her name, but the one that gave it, that made the song famous was Blanca. That she's alive, she lives in Puerto Rico, and I met her like 2 years ago, and I was like, you're one of my favorite singers. So it was amazing to meet her.
Can you talk a little bit about the lyrics? Do you remember any of the lyrics that you can recite right now?
Yeah, of hambre, yeah. Of course. She says, hambre, but I have to say in English? Or
yeah, try to translate.
Okay. Hunger, of feeling the fire burn, of love that burns my entrañas. I don't know how to say.
Insides.
Your insides. But I love that she says, a hunger of a desperate love that takes me to sin, even if I have to cry. It says a lot, like especially coming from that time, like it was like, wow, what were they thinking, you know, how women lived in those times, you know. I think I couldn't handle myself as a woman living in that time where everything was even more oppressive than it is now.
right. One of the things that impresses me about that is that it's so overt, right? There's no question, especially when you say it in Spanish, que me lleva al pecado. Mm-hmm. It takes me to sin. And it's so much more powerful than some of the music now where they're so frank and so explicit. Mm-hmm. There's no subtlety. This, like, you can feel the burn.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's as if she feels guilty of feeling that way, you know? That's what's crazy about it. She shouldn't feel guilty at all. But it was some other time.
We're in the studio with Ile talking about music, talking about sin.
Yeah.
We want to thank you for coming. We got time for one more song. We want to thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And wish you continued success. You're starting a tour here in the United States?
Yes, I started in New York, and it was amazing. And then I go to Miami and then California. And I finished this year with this tour that has been the longest yet with this album, Ilevitable, so I'm very excited.
How long have you been touring the album?
1 year and 3 months or four, maybe. I'm also receiving donations in the entrance of every show to take to Puerto Rico. So every help would be great. I've noticed we need more of basic medical articles for babies, for elderly, men, women, as well as hygiene, but also everything will be well received. So
thank you for that. Yeah, thank
no,
you.
Of course.
Okay. What is the last song we're going to hear?
Imasumak. Yes. I love this woman. And I noticed her voice before her name. So then I got a little desperate to figure out who she was, who this voice was. And she was Peruvian. And actually her name, Imasumak, is her name in Quechua. And she was an opera singer. And she did this album of mambos. And she had a ridiculously amazing voice and had and her voice range was very wide. Like, she go to very, very low notes and also got very high. And in this song, Go for Mambo, you will appreciate that.
We want to remind you that you can hear all the songs we played today on our website at npr.org/altlatino. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. It takes me a while sometimes to answer your messages on Facebook and Twitter, but I do try to get to everybody. I want to remind you again that you have been listening to Alt Latino. My name is Felix Contreras, and again, thank you to Ile for coming.
Thank you.
This is Gopher Mambo from the great Imasumak. Thank you.
bam bum, bam bum, bam bum. Tira bam bum, bam bum, bam bum. Parirarem bam babam, parirarem dam dam.
Thank you.